from the very beginning of our history as a people, this idea of calling has been the centerpiece of our experience as a church. In fact, in the New Testament church, it was actually called ekklesia, which is the Greek word that means called out ones, the people who were called. You and I, as a part of the church, are these called out ones. And this day we are called to be reminded the vast importance of this identity that you and I have and need to claim. The Bible is filled with people like you and me who came to an understanding, perhaps reluctantly, about this calling that they had. Some of them were unsavory characters. Some of them were people who were absolutely the last ones you could possibly imagine who might be able to do something significant. We're going to hear about a couple of those right now.
In Genesis chapter 12, we hear the story of a couple, a woman named Sarah and her husband Abraham. And these two people lived in a land that they had lived in forever. And not just them, but their ancestors, their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. Because you see, in this time, where you were born is where you died. People didn't just pack up and move across town or move a few miles away or hundreds of miles away. Home was home, and that was it. And so one day, God spoke to Abram and to Sarai and said, "I will show you a new land. Pack up your things and go. I will make you a blessing." But Abram and Sarai were not so sure about this because this had never been done before. Go to a new place? Change the course of history? Surely you cannot mean us, God. We are too old. But Abram and Sarai trusted God, and so they packed up their things and they went. And they listened to the call of God that was leading them to places not only they had never been before, but no one had ever been before. And the world was forever changed because of it.
In the New Testament, we have an example of a fellow who, unlike Sarah and Abraham, who were really nobodies, completely unknown, this guy was very well known. Not only was he famous, he was infamous. His Hebrew name was Saul, but his Roman name was Paulus. We know him as Paul. He was an unsavory character. He was cruel, indignant. He was, in his own definition in 1 Timothy, a blasphemer when he finally came to faith. In fact, the word that he uses in the first chapter of 1 Timothy is a Greek word, hubristes, which translated into English today basically means terrorist. Paul confesses in his own words, "I was a terrorist, and yet God called me into service." The gist of this first chapter of 1 Timothy is quite profound because in Paul's confession, he says, if God can save me from who I was, if God can call me to do something significant, if God can use me to touch anyone, God can save, call, and use anyone, including me and you.
As Paul continued on his journey, he traveled to a place called Macedonia. And as he and his companions were traveling, they landed in a city called Philippi. And they were there for a while, and on one of the Sabbath days, Paul and his friends traveled down to the river to pray. And as they sat by the river, there was a group of women that had gathered there. And Paul and his friends began telling them what they were doing and what kind of good news they had to share. And nearby, there was a woman named Lydia who was overhearing this conversation. Now, Lydia was probably fairly well known in this area of Philippi because she sold purple cloth. And if you were a purchaser of purple cloth, you probably had some money, and you were probably one of the more well-off individuals. You may have been royalty. So Lydia was not a person hiding in the shadows. People knew her name. So Lydia is standing there by the river, and she is listening to Paul talk. And she approaches the group, and she says, "Come to my house. I would like for you to stay with me, and we will worship this God that you are telling us about together." So here we have this woman, of an important person in the society of Philippi, and she ends up founding the first Christian church on European soil, not soldier. And so you have this story of a woman who just happens to be in the right place at the right time. God was not directly calling out to her, but she overheard something and saw something that was happening around her and realized, this is what I am supposed to be a part of. And so God doesn't always have a bright, shining light like on the Damascus Road, or doesn't tell us exactly where we are going. Sometimes we have to be ready to pay attention to what is happening around us and how God is calling us to work and to serve God as well. But perhaps one of the most dramatic stories we have of calling in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, comes with the story of Moses. And so I think that story we may need to hear in a little more detail.
Moses, he grew up in Egypt back in 1300 BC. He was born of peasants in a real poor place where they didn't have TV. One day, his mother was afraid for his life, so she put him in the River Nile. She surrounded him with reeds and covered them with tar so he'd stay afloat for a while. He was found downstream by the Pharaoh's daughter while she was taking her bath. She took him to her father and asked if she could keep him, but the Pharaoh started to laugh. Then the Lord intervened with his mighty hand, and he changed that Pharaoh's mind. And the Pharaoh turned to his daughter and said, "Well, keep him, baby. That'd be fine. Well, now Moses. Oh, Moses, you got to set your people free. You got to take them out of the land of bondage, and a leader you've got to be. You don't think that you can do it, but the Lord God says you can. You've got to suck it on up and hold your head high and let God lead you to the promised land." Well, Moses grew, and as he matured, he became a very strong man. And he worked in the palace and in dealing with the people and was known throughout the land. But then one day Moses saw a soldier of the Pharaoh bop a Hebrew slave in the head. So he ran up to the soldier and he hit him and he beat him till he killed that soldier. He had to run away out into the desert. He stayed there a good long while. But the Lord was watching over and always taking care of him mile after mile after mile. Finally, one day the Lord spoke to Moses and called him from a burning tree. Said, "Moses, take your shoes off. Bow your head. Come over here and listen to me. Hey, your people back in Egypt, remember on the Nile, well, they need someone to come and set them free. You're the one I choose, and I promise you won't lose as long as you keep trusting in me. You got to keep trusting in me." But Moses was afraid because he couldn't speak the language, and he didn't think that he could do it right. But the Lord was in control and guided Moses well, so Egyptians ran in terror and in fright. Well, the rest you probably know, and if you don't, it's in the book that tells us how to live our lives each day. But the moral of the story isn't fun or allegory. It just says to trust in God and know his way. Trust in God and know his way. So if you're called by the Lord to lead some people out of bondage, then you'll know just exactly where you stand. You've got to suck it on up and hold your head high and let God lead you to the promised land. You don't have to be a Hebrew to go to the promised land. Come on, Moses. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Be a leader, a chosen man.
Listening in on the radio, yes, ladies and gentlemen, this still is First Baptist Church of Decatur. While having fun with a very important biblical story, it is also valuable for us to take seriously what we learn, that all these individuals, like you and me, were very flawed, stuck in their human condition, fully understanding their foible nature and their insufficiencies. And yet, God said, I need you this week, right now, to do something significant. So we stand together in this time and place, recognizing, yes, we're not all we wish we could be, but with God's help, we're more than we can possibly imagine. Listen carefully to God's still, small voice working in your heart and your spirit, because you're needed this week, called to do something significant.
In her book, An Altar in the World, Barbara Bowne Taylor shares this quote, "If my own experience can be trusted, then God does not just call us once, but many times. There are calls to faith and calls to ordination. Together we can hear our calls, and together we can answer them, if we listen for the still small voice that continues to speak to us in the language of life." As we continue to worship together and as we prepare to go out into the world this week, how will you listen for the still small voice? Maybe you'll encounter a bright shining light. Maybe a path will be drawn for you and you just trust that it's leading the right way. Maybe you will encounter someone and realize that God is working not just in your life, but in theirs as well. And so as we prepare to sing our hymn of response, think on these things. And as we stand to sing our hymn, if you are feeling that God is moving in your life, we invite you to come and share that with either myself or with David as we continue to worship together.